money. Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger! They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce fall away at the horn. It's gone!
Morris, Ball, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three. What a shot! You talked about a pressure shot.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We have news and analysis on the Wizards 5 days a week. I'm coming to you from a speakeasy bar right next to the Capital One Arena right now called Denson, and I'm your host, Noah Getzel. I've been covering the Wizards for 4 years with Wizards Extra. We've got some awesome guests here tonight, including my brother, Daniel Getzel, who just celebrated his 31st birthday this weekend. Anyway, you can find the Locked On podcast on a few different places: iTunes, Stitcher, LockedOnWizards.com, SoundCloud, Megaphone. You should follow us on Twitter, Locked On Wizards. And today we'll be talking about the Wizards matchup against the Philadelphia 76ers, who have won 7 in a row. And then we're going to talk about the issues of player development and the Wizards bench, and whether it seems like these issues have been fixed, or if this season is kind of just an anomaly to a broken system. So here on the podcast, I've got my brother Daniel Getzel, and then a good friend, Andrew Alberg, who is a huge basketball nerd. Andrew, can people follow you on Twitter?
How's it going? Yeah, it's Andrew underscore Alberg, at Andrew underscore Alberg. Last name is spelled A-L-B-E-R-G. A lot of basketball-related content. Follow me.
And how long have you been a Celtics fan?
I've been a Celtics fan since I was 5, so that would be 25 years. I've been through thick and thin, but mostly thick, if that's the good side. Because they're the best franchise in the thickest, I think.
Well, this is a Wizards podcast, so we're not going to talk about your Celtics fandom anymore.
Jason, no.
Daniel, you said you're most excited to see Ben Simmons play tonight. Why is that?
I mean, he's just so effortless out there. I mean, everything he does, it looks like he's moving in slow motion while people are moving at full speed. And that's just, like, the biggest differentiating factor. And I like that he's Canadian, but doesn't talk about it a lot.
He's Australian, actually.
Australian.
He's Australian. I've never heard him talk. Even better. I don't know if he has an accent.
He does have an accent. Okay. No, he has a good accent.
Yeah, so you said it looks like he's in slow motion when everyone else is full speed. Wouldn't that be a negative quality on the basketball court?
No, he's making decisions while everyone else is going a million miles per hour. It looks like he's able to slow it down and see the court at a different speed. It's kind of like a LeBron, Magic Johnson type of thing.
They say that about Kyle Anderson on the Spurs, too. They say his nickname is Slow-Mo because he moves. It's true, he moves so slowly. But in a league when everyone is so fast, there's a whole compilation of clips where he throws off Kevin Durant because he just moves at a different rate than everyone else. And Durant just, like, plays the average NBA speed. And then Slow-Mo just moves it a little bit slower. And he, like, weasels his way by him. So I think there's a way to zig when everyone else is zagging, and it helps.
Speaking of guys who completely alter your game when they're on the floor, Joel Embiid's just like a defensive nightmare. It seems like he blocks every
offensive
player. Yeah. He's
also kind of like a bad guy from a wrestling, like, promo. Like, he plays that up really hard. Like, he's, you know, the crowd is getting into it. He, like, loves being the villain. I mean, it's a pretty cool dynamic out there.
It's especially nowadays when so many players, at least for a while, they kind of kept it to themselves. They didn't really talk, no comment. You know, he's a great player. It's nice to see some guys talk trash. And everyone hates him, which is fun for the league.
What happened with Embiid in the whole, he wanted to ask out the person
Rihanna,
for the All-Star
right?
game?
Rihanna.
And he didn't end up asking her out this year.
She said, come back when you're an All-Star.
Yeah. So
he,
like,
said he's past it, which is ridiculous, but that's fine.
He also did the whole Dikembe Mutombo thing, like, what's your pickup line going to be at the All-Star game, which is pretty solid.
So what do you think the Wizards will need to do to end this 7-game winning streak, which includes a big victory over the Wizards, I think, February 6th, right after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that was awful. I mean, it all comes down to assists. I think with the Wizards, if they're
having 25 on Friday and they lost the game, they lost big.
Well, they're awful against the Hornets for whatever reason. I didn't watch that game. I don't know if you
Hornets
watched
won
it.
Hornets won big today, too.
Yeah, Hornets are, like, they're hit or miss. Like,
Kemba.
Yeah, Kemba is, like, He, Jordan won't trade him too, which is crazy. Like,
well,
he's basically
a killer instinct, just like Jordan.
As someone pointed out, I think it was either Nate Duncan or Zach Lowe said, he's probably the best Hornets player. He's one of the best Hornets player of all time, which is ridiculous, but he's like top five for sure.
Who else?
Zoe and LJ, but like, yeah. What else have they, what did they really do?
Muggsy Bogues.
Well, I mean, right, there's really, like, there's really not a great list.
I thought you meant like, the Charlotte Rice. Bobcats, like, franchise
The Pelicans, right?
You gotta put Glenn Rice in the top five.
Glenn Rice, he was like, I think it was a Heat guy, but I think you're right.
No, but he, in the All-Star game where he had like 23 in that one quarter, I think he was on the Hornets.
About the Sixers, so they played, they're a bunch of rookies, they've won six in a row, but they played last night, they traveled today, Embiid is always not good for, he's probably not going to play 40 minutes like he normally does, and they have a bunch of rookies, so they play well one night, and then they'll have a bad night the next night. So it's not like you're playing some juggernaut where you know they're going to give it to you every night. You just hope they have an off night.
What's your prediction?
I think the Wizards are probably going to win. They're favored by 1.5, I saw, which I think makes sense. It's going to be close. But, I mean, I just don't think Embiid is physically... Also, he wasn't relaxing over All-Star weekend. He was playing.
Yeah.
And probably drinking and partying. So I don't want to... You know, I don't know that, but I assume he's having fun. So he's probably due for an off night.
And what do you think will happen tonight?
I mean, I think the Wizards pull it off, but I'm also partial since it's my first game this year and I get all I can drink, all I can eat tickets. So, like, I'm clearly...
Thanks to me.
Yeah, thank you, Noah. So, yeah, I'm partial. Yeah. I think they're going to pull it off, though.
So we're going to be right back with the Locked On Wizards podcast. Daniel's going to talk a little bit more about my awesome birthday present to him. I'm kidding. But we're going to talk about Wizards player development and whether their issues with the bench are finally fixed. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hold on. Welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. I'm your host, Noah Getzel. You can follow me on Twitter, Noah_Getzel. That's NOAH_GOETZEL. I'm here with my brother, Daniel Getzel, and Andrew Ulberg. We're previewing the Wizards-Sixers matchup tonight. So the Wizards made a bunch of offseason moves, and their bench is looking pretty strong this season with Satoransky, Oubre, Mike Scott. Mahimni's playing a lot better. What do you think that the issues are kind of fixed? It used to be that every time that Wall left the game, the Wizards would look awful. They're playing pretty well, 8-3 in the last 11 games without him. Do you think the system is fixed in terms of Wizards keeping their draft picks and developing some homegrown talent, or do they still have a lot of work to go in that realm?
No, it's obviously not fixed. We basically banked on having a couple really good top five picks. A couple of them turned into Otto Porter, Bradley Beal.
Yeah, but those guys weren't... Only Wall was a guarantee. It's not like Porter and Beal were like 100% easy picks. They had to make... People blow top five picks all the time.
Yeah, we have. Jan Vesely was a huge blowing of a top five pick. But beyond that, I mean, what are the biggest moves that we've made over the past like decade? Flipping Kwame Brown, which was a mistake, into Caron Butler. Like, you know, tell me what else was a big-time move.
Has there already made a trade in the last few years? I can't think of a big trade that the Wizards have made. Maybe I'm overlooking a big one. Have they made big trades in the last few years? I can't think of any.
It's just been, I mean, they got Markieff Morris
maybe first-round pick. Maybe Ernie's recognized that his sponsor is not making trades because he seems to not do well in them, and they're sticking with drafting.
Except we don't have draft picks. When's the last time we've had a first-round draft pick?
They finally have it this year.
Yeah, like besides
the opposite of the Celtics.
Oubre, Porter, like it's been so long since we've had a first round draft pick.
Yeah, it's
And then you know what Grunfeld's gonna do? Basically decide that like, yeah, you know, we're gonna like move for someone for like a first round pick for like half a season.
Trade deadline's over, you can't do that. The other thing, on a personal note, Mike Scott is gonna kill the Wizards in a playoff game because he's gonna decide. To me, I have never seen him pass. And that's great when he shoots all the time. But he gets the ball, and there's no thought process. He gets the ball, and it's going up. And I feel like late in the game, he's going to think he's the star. And someone should probably talk him out of that before it happens.
But he won't be on the court late in the game. He's not in their crunch time lineup.
Yeah, I guess if their first unit struggles, they might put him on the floor for points. But yeah. I guess in that scenario, it's not the end of the world. But I'm not as much of a fan of his as I am of Sato and Oubre.
I
great.
I was early on the Sato bandwagon. Even though
last year he was... Good times.
The tough part's going to be who do you pay and who do you get rid of? Because Oubre's going to demand a lot of money. Satoransky's proving he can be a starter.
What's Oubre going to demand?
A lot. Well, the market's tanked, though. But
yeah, that's true.
Money? Do they have any money? I mean, you
saw... Wizards are over the luxury tax.
They can't. They're not going to pay him.
Can that Gortat come off the books? That's a big salary.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Next year is when Gortat and Oubre's contracts expire.
Well, they're not...
You're not going to resign Gortat.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I was shocked that Lou Williams, who was a borderline all-star, got $7 million a year for 4 years or something.
Really?
They said the market's just not the same as it used to be because I think the cap's lowering or the revenues are different.
Because isn't it based on TV contracts, and isn't the TV contract continuing to grow?
Yeah, I'm not
so
sure.
How is the cap going down?
The NBA's doing well as a whole. I actually don't know the reason for it, but 3 summers ago, remember when Alan Crabb...
Yamahimi summer.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you mentioned Yamahimi's playing better. Like, literally being on the court and not fouling more than scoring is a... improvement over what his previous performance was.
Ask a question because I really don't know this. I don't follow as close as I should, but does a coach's salary count towards your salary cap? So if you wanted to, you could hypothetically pay a coach $20 million and that's your own decision.
Okay. And that's... Some teams have said that in leagues with really strict caps, which I guess the NBA isn't, I can't think. Like the NFL, you can really get an advantage by paying coach a lot. Like the Raiders pay Gruden $10 million a year, which he's probably not that good, but it's a way to really kind of spend some money where you can elsewhere.
What do you think is the Wizards' biggest need?
Championships.
Rim protector. Playoff.
If Mahimi could stay on the court, he should be a rim protector.
You want him playing center in the fourth quarter?
No, but I'm saying he's... I see what you're saying. Well, Gortat should be a rim protector too. What is he good for on defense if he's not protecting the rim? Not much, maybe.
Things are going to get really tough in the playoffs,
defense?
Though. Yeah, defensively, I don't think we match up with a lot of the small lineups that the Celtics or the Cavs throw at us.
Oubre and Porter are the guys are perfect modern defensive. They're long as hell.
What, and that Morris is your center in crunch time?
That's bad. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I mean, we saw what happened with Kyrie. Like, I don't know how they couldn't figure out in that game against the Celtics how to switch on that screen so Morris isn't guarding Kyrie on the three-point line.
I think you just don't switch it.
Yeah, or just push through and double team on him and make someone else beat you. Like, you know, I'm willing to live with that. I'd rather someone else do that as opposed to him going and shooting a three-pointer where Morris fouls him twice in crunch time.
What do you think is their biggest need? What do you think is their...
I think it's just depth issues. Like, there's no backup shooting guard. The center position has been an issue for a long time.
That money tied up in Mahimi is really the...
Yeah, that's the issue. Nobody wants to touch that contract.
That was the worst deal ever. He wasn't even a starter on the Pacers when we signed him.
The only thing I'll say is that year everyone was getting ridiculous amounts of money, and he was good on the Pacers. I remember watching that. He was good. He was, and like, in theory, if he's one of those guys who was a good backup, he gets starters minutes and he blossomed, he could have been great. It didn't happen.
How old is he?
He's 32, I believe.
32. Gortat's what, 34?
30, is he, wait, yeah. Mahimi is 32?
31 or 32, yeah.
I would have said he's 28 or something. That's awful.
When's the last time the Wizards have signed someone under the age of 26?
Markieff.
How old is he?
He's around.
I mean, well, when he was signed, he was like 24, 25.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
He's like the season
But besides that, though, I mean, we go Fats Miller, Andre Miller.
Fats Miller.
Ramon Sessions. I mean,
Kim
it's
Frazier.
Always...
Kim Frazier, young guy.
I don't like Frazier at all.
No, he's not good. So
you think Ernie's got to go?
I mean, I've been saying that for so long.
I think I'm now starting to understand.
It's a complete broken record.
There's just no universe in which they're better than the Raptors, Sixers, or Celtics in the next 10 years. There's no scenario it happens unless something changes dramatically.
I think they could be better than the Raptors.
Maybe the Raptors. But the Celtics and Sixers are on a whole different trajectory.
The Sixers are going to get someone
They're
else.
Both better now, and they might get LeBron, in which case it's over.
Thank you guys so much for your time. Thanks for sharing your Twitter info, Andrew. I understand that you're refusing to, you know, let people follow you on Twitter. Very private stuff going on there. But tune in after the game for another Locked On Wizards podcast, analyzing this Wizards-Sixers matchup that'll be posted Monday morning. Thanks so much, and take it easy, everyone. Enjoy the game.